Coming up, we're going to be talking about Hail Marys, Harden trade rumors, Miami's AFC East division title potential. Can the Steelers go undefeated? You know all the storylines. Plus a little Masters. That's all next. It's the Bill Simmons Podcast presented by FanDuel. Take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub, filtered by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same-game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same-game parlays for every NBA game. Download the app today. Bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. You must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. This episode is brought to you by Monopoly Go. It's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're not sure you can pull out a win? That's when you say to yourself, it's time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of my friend's money as I possibly can. That's right. The hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to be the biggest tycoon ever. I might do this with my high school friends. We used to play Monopoly all the time. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone anytime with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress. There's so much to do. Play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. Make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. Charge other players rent for your iconic properties. Maybe you'll even play against me. I'm great at Monopoly. You could even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards. Get back out there. Put on your game face. Download Monopoly Go. Now free on the App Store or Google Play. We're also brought to you by TheRinger.com and The Ringer Podcast Network, where we're launching two new podcasts this week. You can subscribe to them now. They're going up soon. Recipe Club is the first one. That's with Chef Dave Chang. You might have heard of him. I might have had dinner with him on Friday night. They're going to cut through the noise each week, cook three recipes for the same dish, debate them, ultimately declare the winning recipe. So check out for that one. And also, Gamblers with Dave Hill. New narrative series about, you know, some of the best gamblers gambling stories. If you like gambling, just trust me on both of these. If you like gambling and food, you're in good hands. Also, we have a new Book of Basketball podcast going up Monday night. I won't tell you who it is, but it's another famous person. We did Allen Iverson for episode one, if you missed that one. Season two, also a good one. That's going up Monday at midnight. Check out the Ringer NBA show and Ryan Russillo's show if any NBA stuff happens over the next 24 to 36 hours. And we'll be covering that on theringer.com as well. Coming up, Cuz and I are going to talk about a really, really fun sports day. That's next. First, Pearl Jam. All right, taping this at 8:28 Pacific time, Sunday night. What a sports day. Holy shit. Starts out with the Masters. There's all kinds of football. They actually stagger the schedule correctly, so there were a lot of late games. We have the Patriots somehow still alive thanks to a tsunami and a whole bunch of weird shit. Yeah. And then on top of everything else, this Harden to Brooklyn thing had gained all kinds of momentum today, and ESPN was reporting on it. I did a whole trade thing at the top of my pod on Thursday. That was the trade, you know, I kind of threw out on Thursday, like in Brooklyn, it actually makes the most sense, blah, blah, blah. 3 days later, it actually makes sense. Sal, the
how
odds.
How dare basketball try to steal football?
Just quickly. No, just come give on. Me 2 minutes. Give me 2 minutes. Brooklyn is now our number four favorite to win the title. They're down to plus 750 on FanDuel.
Wow.
This trade hasn't even happened yet.
Didn't we talk about this with you and Hal's? Who won? It was a few weeks ago. And yeah, we did the 2021 odds. What were they? 13, 14 to 1?
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to touch it.
It was like 14 to 1. Yeah. So now they're plus 750. Lakers are plus 320. Clips plus 600. Bucks 7-1. And the Nets and Warriors are both
Lakers
plus 750.
Lakers making trades too. Schroeder, right?
Yeah, they made a good one today. They kind of stole Schroeder. I gave Polinko a lot of shit, but that was actually, he's done a good job the last year. So this Brooklyn thing, really quickly before we get to football.
Go ahead.
Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving on the same team. This is basically what my son would do when he's playing NBA 2K. Right. Where he'd be like, no, this would be cool. I'll just put all these guys on the same team and they're video game characters. They'll be happy. in this case, it's three guys who are used to having the ball all the time. Harden and Durant are really good friends from way, way back. Kyrie is somebody that, you know, likes to have the ball. I don't know how I feel about it. It could be a beautiful disaster or it could be absolutely devastating. What do you think? You have no dog in the race.
Well, it's not good for your Celtics, right? No. I mean, Kyrie, take him out of there for a minute because he'll get sick of playing or he'll get sick of not having the ball and he'll take care of himself in that regard. So if it's just Durant and Harden and Dinwiddie, I don't know. I don't know who they get
rid of. Dinwiddie will be in the trade. It'll be LeVert, Dinwiddie, Jared Allen probably and some picks or Torian Prince. I don't know who it'll be, but yeah.
Top two team to beat in the East at that point, right? I know I'm not saying anything interesting there, but who the hell's ahead of them?
So
your team, the Sixers, I guess we have to see if Giannis moves at all, right?
Yeah, I guess. So the upside of it would be, how do you stop this when they're spread out? The downside would be, it's a video game team. It looks so much better on paper. How are these guys ever going to be happy? I'm wondering, the more I thought about it, once it really started to get momentum in the last 24 hours, if this is like a backup plan type thing for Durant with Kyrie. You know, because he's been like in bed with Kyrie now for over a year. And maybe you bring Harden in, it's like, no, it's going to be the three of us. It'll be all together. But deep down, it's kind of a little bit of an upgrade and an awesome backup plan in case the Kyrie thing goes south.
Sure.
Katie will probably even get mad that I surmise this. But but
he'll
it's
forgive
just,
you.
Hey, I'm trying to think in history, two things. One, when a team gave up a bunch of quarters for a dollar and it wasn't a disaster for the team that gave up the dollar. Mm-hmm. Like just trading a top seven guy in the league for a bunch of pieces. There's no record of it ever working out. I can't think of one example. Every time I was writing about this 20 years ago, writing the examples. And since then we've had six more. So that'd be one thing. The flip side of it would be, we've also seen these situations where you throw the guys together and you know, it's not a great fit. Mm-hmm. But you're like, well, they're so great, you know, and you just kind of talk yourself into it.
Yeah.
It's these two worlds colliding, and that's why my head's going to explode. We'll see if it happens. I still feel like Philly can come in with Ben Simmons at any point here and trump it, right?
Can come into where?
Into this Harden thing. If it's really like a sweepstakes.
Yeah. Well, sometimes the video game teams work. They do. I mean, it wasn't through trades really, but Golden State was a video game team, right? And they were competitive for a while. I know it wasn't the same way through trades and how you broke it down, like four pieces, the four-on-one trades, the bad trades you get offered in fantasy all the time. Like, I want your stud and I'll give you four pieces of shit,
right?
But it adds up. And then you're going to have to cut three guys too. So, but we'll worry about that later. But yeah.
It's funny to watch with my son playing fantasy how, in seventh and eighth grade, that's just the only trades anyone offers. They're like, here's three guys for DK Metcalf.
Right.
And my son's like, Dad, should I do this? He's offering me three guys. They're just like, no, you absolutely shouldn't do that. That's a mistake.
Don't take any trades ever. Yeah.
Sal, this is going to be a dizzying next 5 days with hoops.
It is, right?
There's going to be trades, the draft. Nobody knows where anyone's going. I can't get consensus on anything. And then after that, you have free agency coming, and it's just going to be 2 weeks of, you know, what the NBA has become, which is NBA 2K.
Right.
It's just guys switching teams. Guys are unhappy for a year. They move. Guys don't like this. It's like, just get me out of here. It's just bizarre. They've turned into like high school kids. Oh, I thought you liked Jimmy. No, now I like Tommy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just what the NBA is like now. No, I really like James Harden. Oh, cool. All right.
Well, we pointed to college with that too. It's like, oh, these one and done players, all these Kentucky guys. How do you root for Kentucky? How does a fan base, how does it follow this? And now it's like, it's trickled into the pros. Like, these guys don't stick around. Maybe it's because they're in the mindset of moving on after 1 year, all these players. So I don't know what it is.
Well, if they get Harden, it just adds to how many of these compelling NBA storylines we're going to have with Golden State just being back, with whatever the hell is going to go on with the Clippers, with the Lakers, who actually look like they might actually be better than they were this year, with the Celtics and Milwaukee hanging around in Miami trying to make a run, and then Denver trying to make a leap, and Denver's trying to trade for Jrue Holiday right now. It's everyone's just loading up, and the season's starting really soon. And on top of it, we're going to have football. heading into the playoffs. Like, this is what a run this
is. Way on top of football. Yeah.
All right.
I know you don't want to talk about your Patriots win. Your big Patriots win.
I'm ready. So for the people listening, Tuesday, I'll have a bunch of NBA stuff. Wednesday, we're doing a draft pre-show on Twitter and then a post-show that will end up being also the Ringer NBA podcast, and then Thursday, I'll have more. So I have the NBA cover. We're talking football today. My team just saved its season.
Mm-hmm.
You said we should hit up FanDuel and find out where the most money was on a team.
Right.
So I sent a text, and the person I sent it to said, I haven't looked yet, but I guarantee it was Baltimore. Everybody had the Baltimore money line and Baltimore -6.5. Yeah.
Okay, because it makes sense because that's a Sunday game, and that's a game if you lost all day, you double up on that. Or if you won, you have to lose it somehow. That makes sense. Before that, I was seeing big numbers on Cleveland. We'll get to that, which is hilarious. But this Baltimore game was, do we even know? I don't know. There was so much rain. Are you sure your team won? I didn't see the last minute, and it seemed like the heavens opened even more for Coach Belichick to make sure that Lamar wasn't getting down the field in the last minute five. But that was a spectacularly wild game.
There were a lot of red flags that I just willfully ignored because I had the Ravens in a couple teases and parlays. One is the Hail Mary to Hopkins took the ceiling off today. Anytime shit like that happens, you just know where shit's going to go. Everybody had the Ravens as the comeback bet, like you said. Mm-hmm. Everybody had the Ravens in a tease or a parlay. Mm-hmm. The Pats looked awful last week, but yet their season's on the line. And I don't think Belichick's been an underdog like that at home probably since he was in Cleveland.
And it
was all the makings of, the Belichick magic. I think what none of us expected was the monsoon. Now, could we have Googled that? Maybe. I didn't. Did you know it was going to have weather like that?
It seemed like Collinsworth and Michaels didn't even know it was. They're like, this is supposed to move north to New Hampshire or something. I don't think they expected. I thought they were going to miss it. And it definitely favored the Patriots. I'm not saying the Ravens were, there were two bad snaps, right? Two really bad snaps. And I think that was big. Now, the fact that the Patriots ran down their throats was something we didn't expect either. This Damian Harris, he better look for another job because you don't show up Coach Belichick like that, right? No running back gets two good games in a row on that team for the last 20 years. So I don't know what he's going to do for a living. But
you think they're going to bench him?
I don't know. You know what it's like. You anybody who starts him in fantasy next year is going to be cursing. Well, he's going to have six carries for 31 yards.
Hold that Damian Harris thought.
Yeah.
Because I'm just going to do this now. It's time for the State Farm Surprisingly Great Segment of the Week. Getting great car and home insurance from State Farm at a surprisingly great rate? Well, that's like betting on Bill Belichick when he's a 7-point underdog at home. State Farm agents provide personal service. You can customize your insurance to fit your needs. Like a GM putting together their very own roster, you need a team that supports you. State Farm's got a great one. In addition to agents, the award-winning mobile app helps manage coverage, pay bills, life claims, and more. The great price, even greater service. State Farm goes from strength to strength. Choose insurance that always brings its A game. When you want the real deal, like good neighbor, State Farm is there. Our surprisingly great player from this week was Damian Harris. Now, a couple things for this. One, we watch football all day. He's one of the three or four running backs that really stands out as like a badass. And he was doing this the last couple weeks. I didn't think he was playing today because he got crushed last week.
Right.
And it looked like he was going to be out. It didn't matter. Here's the other thing. The Pats drafted him. We finally have a successful Belichick draft pick for the last 5 years. If you watch, like Josh Uche, the linebacker, made a play. Winovich kind of made a play. And the right tackle was a 6th-round pick they boxed. So we're back, baby.
Apologize. You need to apologize to Belichick. Maybe these picks have been great. And Jacoby Myers was a draft pick, right?
He was undrafted, yeah.
Oh, he was undrafted. Okay.
Undrafted.
Well, they still had to go get him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good. QB. Yeah, you're right.
I would rather I'd like him play for Dallas right now. Can he move to Dallas in the next 3 days? We need a quarterback.
You'd rather have them than Garrett Gilbert?
Garrett Gilbert, maybe. he's neck and neck with Andy Dalton, I think. But they had their trickery, and then they had the ground and pound right down your throat. And then they had a slow Lamar start. Now he picked it up at the end. I feel like he should run every single time he has the ball, but I don't know. I don't even get in a
2-minute drill, it feels like he should run. Yeah, the thing with Harris. So they draft him. He's like, he's classic Alabama, just take the pedigree, right? And then he's on IR all last year, and it seemed like they threw away the pick. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as he started playing this year, he was so clearly 17 times better than Sony Michel. And on my Pat's text thread, all of us are like, wait a second.
Yeah.
What's going on with this guy? And he was just clearly really good. And then I thought was borderline dominant in the game today. But the thing with the Ravens and the Pats, they kind of have the same problem, right? If they're up 7, they look great.
Mm-hmm.
Because then they can just run the ball, do play action, control the clock. It's when they fall behind that you start to get worried, right? Every time the Pats threw today was out of a position of strength when the Ravens were expecting the run.
Right. You had 2nd and 2. I mean, that was mostly Damon Harris. He had 22 for 121. But that first run on first down was usually like 7 yards. So ask any quarterback, let alone Cam Newton, to do something on 2nd and 3. You're going to do great.
Right.
What was he, 13 for 17? Yeah, it just seemed like everything offensively that wasn't Damian Harris could have been stopped by a team. All the lob passes and the screens and everything. It's like, oh my God, how are the Ravens not stepping up? How's Peters not picking one of these? But they look good. They got it done. They got it done, and it helped that it rained. But Ravens are in a little bit of trouble. It doesn't seem like the same team that beat the Colts. And then that Colts team dominated. It really is different from week to week in this league.
I was shocked, first of all, and I know they've had some injuries on the defense, but I thought their front 7 really got pushed around, which was not what I saw even last week from them. And then on offense, I thought they were just going to bulldoze the Pats, and the Pats were just doing a whole bunch of, they basically threw the kitchen sink after that first drive. And I don't know, I thought the Ravens had a lot of trouble. And I got to say, going against Lamar, like, especially when you have a lead, he really stares down his receivers. And, you know, McCourty had that play that he almost had the pick, but the other guy could have picked it too. He almost had two Patriots picking the same play and a really big drive for them. Now, a couple dumb things with the snaps that happens. Yeah. It was like Thursday night when the Titans had that dumb punt and it completely changed the game.
Yeah. It seems like guys, like long field goals are a gimme in this league and punts and extra points are hard. All of a sudden, like 58-yard field goals, great. Fine. Chalk it up. That's it. That's an automatic 3. But the basics are hard to come by, it seems.
So the Patriots now are 4-5. In other words, they're not dead.
Well, there's 5, 6, and 3s ahead of them in the wild card spot, right?
Right. So you got right now, let's cross off Steelers and the Chiefs. Buffalo 7-3, Colts 6-3, Raiders 6-3, Dolphins 6-3, Ravens 6-3, Browns 6-3, Titans 6-3. So there's a lot of ones to jump. On the other hand, their schedule isn't like that hard. They have Houston next week. Mm-hmm. Houston stinks. Atlanta the week after. They could literally be 6-5. Then they play both LA teams. Tough game at Miami. Home Buffalo, home Jets. So it's not unrealistic. They could go 10-6 when you think like they almost beat Seattle. They were on their way to beating Buffalo. I think when this team is bad, it's hard to understand what you're looking at. They were so bad in that Jets game.
Yeah.
I thought the season was over. I really did. I was like, wow, we can't even beat the Jets. Like Flacco had to do Flacco stuff the last 5 minutes. That was our only chance. I don't know what to think. Do you see them in the playoffs?
I don't, because I didn't realize those 5 teams. Okay, let's say for argument's sake, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Indy, KC win their divisions. I get it. Buffalo and Indy, that could be interchangeable with Tennessee or Miami. But so let's say those other 5 teams, Baltimore, Tennessee, Las Vegas, Miami, Cleveland. Do you trust anyone when you say, oh, they have easy teams on their schedule? Do you trust anyone to definitely beat somebody? Like, I think Cleveland has the Jets, the Giants, and the Jaguars. That, I think, is the easiest route. Cleveland's I don't know. That team doesn't excite me anymore. I don't know that it ever did, but they're just going to play dirty, bad weather games, and Baker's going to have an excuse not to have big numbers, and they're not as exciting because they don't have, Odell anymore. He's throwing to interesting guy, you know, who's he have? Like Rashard Higgins and Donovan People Jones. Yeah. He has Landry still. But, I guess Chubb will make a difference. But out of those teams, is there a guarantee win? I mean, I could see a lot of games being like they were tonight.
Well, I guess the one thing for the Pats is 2 of those losses were in the NFC.
Right.
And if they could build up their AFC record, that would be the case for them making it. I disagree with you on Cleveland, though. And maybe it's because I have Chubb and Hunt on my fantasy team.
Yeah.
The double-barreled, we always have one of the top 7 running backs in the league thing is pretty effective. Like they know who they are. Stefanski's done a really nice job with them. They put Baker in no position to ever fuck them over. It is just, it's run, play action, safe pass.
Yeah, but then
occasionally
don't score
he'll
points.
Scramble out.
They didn't score against the Raiders.
They killed the clock,
10
though.
Today. They scored 10. No, I get it. But I don't know. Who'd they play today? Houston? That just might be a bad team. When does Deshaun Watson beg out of that situation already? He should.
How much
have
of that game
around.
Did you watch? I didn't think he was very good in that game.
No, I know, but I feel like they're just pulling all these pieces around from him. I mean, they even tried to trade Fuller. They couldn't.
And true.
David Johnson's out for a while. I don't know what to expect from that team. But like I said, Cleveland has... they'll be fine. They're making the playoffs for sure. They have 6. They could get to 10 wins with that schedule I just told you.
All right, let's tackle this a different way. Let's remove the Steelers, Chiefs, and Bills. You have 3 teams left just that you like out of these 3 to make the playoffs. Colts, Raiders, Dolphins, Ravens, Browns, Titans, Pats. And I'm going to put the Dolphins in at 4th because I actually think they're legit good.
Right.
All right, so let's take 2 spots now for Colts. Colts, Tennessee, one of those has to make it. So now we're down to 1 spot. Raiders, Ravens, Browns, Pats.
I'll still go Ravens.
So the Pats aren't making it. Kyle, I'm sorry. Kyle was all excited. He was thinking playoffs. We basically have to go. I think we'd have to run the slate to make it.
2 games is a lot to make up on 5 teams. So yeah, or 3 teams, right? Because they'll have to knock out 3 teams.
Jesus, they're
Kyle,
minus 22.
Sorry,
Kyle. We just crossed off the Pats. Which team do you like the least out of the 6-3 teams? Colts, Ravens, Dolphins, Raiders, Titans, Browns. I gotta say, I can't believe the Titans are 6-3 after watching that Thursday night game. Their defense stinks. I just can't believe they have 6 wins.
They're fraudulent for sure. Well, it's funny. Everyone makes fun of Gostkowski. He hit like 350-yarders to win games for them in the last minute. So they could go either way, and they're beating teams like the Bears and some, you know. I don't like them. The thing I like is kind of the same thing you like about Cleveland. You know, Derrick Henry, maybe he hasn't even heated up, and he's been pretty good. We know he steps it up in late November, December. They have a brutal schedule coming up, though, don't they?
Yeah.
See, I think I wrote it down. They have at Ravens, at Colts, and then Cleveland. I'm not sure where that game is, but those are their next 3. So they could get even at 6-6. That might be who you need to chase and kick out of there.
So a bunch of crazy shit happened today. And we'll get to Arizona and the Hail Mary in a second. But we had the Masters just on in November, which like basically broke my brain yesterday and today. Waking up, it's Sunday, it's football. I'm trying to figure out fantasy team bets, all that stuff. And the fucking Masters is on.
Right.
And it was just disorienting. And it wasn't a very fun Masters. Dustin Johnson kind of took the drama out of it. So my question for you, was a November Masters not fun? Or did Dustin Johnson make it not fun?
Oh, I think it was fun.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. So when is it normally? April?
Yeah.
Is that when it's normal?
Okay. It's April. So it's right before NBA playoffs. It's got its own weekend. Nothing's kind of going on. March Madness ended. It's this nice little window for it.
I think I preferred in April, although I want to say good job by you sports for not overlapping too much. By halftime of the early football games, we had the Masters winner. Now, they got lucky. There wasn't a lot of rain. Had there been rain, it could have, who knows, it could have gone into Monday. It could have, and we had for that reason, I think we had the 6 late afternoon games, which we never have except for week 17 when you kind of have to justify it based on the playoffs or who's going to win to get in. They don't want to give someone an advantage. I thought it was good. I thought they did a really nice job with it. I had Dustin Johnson.
Congrats.
I had a lot of money on it. Every 20 minutes I was hedging with him or what's his name? Cam Smith. So yeah. I ended up winning like nothing basically, but it was fun. It was fun. I'm glad they got it done in time.
DJ is has the same look on his face and same demeanor no matter what's happening. It's like, he has a chance to go minus 21 and you would just think he's playing in like some random event in Houston on a Friday.
Right.
Which is the good demeanor. The scores were up. I'm wondering if we made a mistake not wondering if the scores are going to be up because with no fans, maybe that course is a little easier to play. It feels less intimidating. It's just kind of an empty golf course.
I think the over-under on FanDuel was 13.5 players under par, and they killed that.
Wow.
That was over by Saturday morning. You knew I was going over. But yeah, it was good. When DJ's going, there's no one better when he's putting, right? Like that's kind of thing. When he's making those 9-foot putts, like forget it. No one else should show up.
The thing with him is nobody looks more like a golfer than him. Like what you would have in your head, sure. Like the guy who would shoot minus 20 in the Masters. He looks right. Like he's at a tin cup, like the guy Costner's playing with on the final round or something. And I always say he's the most naturally talented guy. House threw him out on my podcast. I think 2 weeks ago when he was 12-1, but it dropped, right? What were the final odds?
I got him at plus 850. You probably could have gotten him Wednesday night at like 10-1 or something. But Deschambeau, who was the favorite, lost to Bernard Langer, who's like 77 years old or something crazy.
Wow.
So there was a little fun stuff. Phil killed me. I had Phil not to make the cut. You knew he was going to melt at one of the points. And it was Saturday was his bad day. I should have just kept chasing that. But I like it. I like it. This is all we're going to watch, Simmons, in like 10 years, right?
Golf?
Yeah, I think so.
You think we're almost there? Football's too hectic for us?
I think we're close. Yeah.
This is the least amount of Masters I think I've watched in the last 20 years.
Really?
Yeah, uh-huh. There's too much going on. Once the Harden stuff started on top of the football, my brain couldn't handle it.
I think it is with you and the Masters? When you try to get in that restaurant in Augusta and Baby Doll, our agent, said, baby, there's no way you're getting in a million years. You kidding me? They have that booked up for 3 decades. You can't get in. And then I think you showed him a picture of you sitting at that restaurant.
Yeah, I got in. I bought gear there.
What's the name of it? What's that called?
Man, I can't believe I can't remember.
Look, you don't even care. You don't even care enough to remember what it is. Like that's what's great.
Breckman's or something like that. It begins with a B. Something like that.
I think that sounds right. Yeah. Yeah. So that was your great Masters moment. It doesn't really get better than that.
Yeah, I talked to my dad today and he just loves the Masters. And he was like, you know, ever since we went, I just feel like I watched the holes and I just think of that day we walked down the hole. I think it really was like the greatest 3 days of his life.
That's awesome.
But it's like now it's all downhill. I can't see my grandkids. We're going to have another shutdown.
Gotta go, Dad.
Yeah. All right, Dad. All right, we're going to take a break. Talk about the Hail Mary. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How you doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Are you like me where you're looking at April and you're just thinking, man, there's a lot of sports. There's a lot of podcast content. There's a lot of stuff to watch. I got to make sure I don't lose control of the narrative here. Got to spend time with the family. Got to unwind. Got to spend time with my friends. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up heading into the summer. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time, but therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. And when you're feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can give you the help for the tools you need to take care of yourself and recharge, because a full battery is the key to a full life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. Switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BillSimmons today to get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/BillSimmons. All right, so we had 3 ridiculous gambling moments today, not counting the Patriots. Mm-hmm. We had Nick Chubb with the Browns favored by 3.5, up 3, breaks through, never happens, going down the sidelines for the game winner with 55 seconds left and smartly runs out of bounds on the one, which was a fantasy murder, but more importantly, a gambling murder. We've seen stuff like that before. Who's the first one? Was it Todd Gurley or was it Bryant Westbrook?
Gurley for sure. Oh, maybe Westbrook did it too. But Gurley
Westbrook was
did
the
it.
First one where it actually it cost people money when it happened.
Right.
This one was in a lot of ways worse. And by the way, fantastic play. Kudos to him. It was the right play. They kneel on the next game. They win. But he's flying down the sidelines. You're like, oh, cover. And then he just veered. Like it was like watching a car veer
Yeah.
Away from a divider. He just veered out of bounds at like the half yard line.
It's like they had the Forrest Gump. Remember when Forrest Gump would run through the end zone and into the tunnel because he didn't know when to stop? I think they had a crowd. I guess they didn't have a crowd, but maybe they had something screaming stop at him. But yeah, you're right. He had such speed, such velocity going. You didn't think there was any way he was going to stop short of the goal line.
He literally veered. So we had that. And I'm like, wow, that's definitely the craziest gambling moment we're going to get all day.
Right.
And then you have the Cardinals who. Mm-hmm. Completely blow it in the fourth quarter, and we get into Kingsbury in a second. Bills score. As you pointed out, as you were texting me, consoling me before the Hail Mary, that the Bills receivers were just like, I don't know what. Cole Beasley has never played like that in his life.
Oh, believe it, I wanted to kill Kingsbury too, but I'm like, God damn, these receivers are making the best catches of their lives on this drive. It's stupid.
So the Cards basically have two chances to just put the game away. And the second time, they get the ball with like 4.5 minutes left. Terrible pass play incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
And then short pass play. Basically, they burn 40 seconds. And then the Bills get the ball back. And you just know that they're going to go down and score. All their receivers go nuts. And then Diggs makes a really great route and then catch. Allen actually threw a nice pass. And yet, because of Kyler Murray, I didn't give up. I really was like, you just can't. He's too exciting. But that Hail Mary has to rank among the best Hail Marys just because he almost gets sacked. He's going right to left. Mm-hmm. He flings it almost like they intended to do it that way. And then Hopkins catches it at the tippy top and he's right inside the goal line.
Yeah.
Rodgers had a couple of good Hail Marys, but I think that might have been the best one.
Well, because normally a Hail Mary is like eight guys in the end zone and it's 3-on-5, right?
Yeah.
This was four guys in the end zone and it was 1-on-3. So that was the fun part. And the fact
and the
that
third
he
guy
just,
wasn't
man.
Even there yet. He was kind of running in late.
Right.
So he basically had one guy boxed out.
Yeah.
So it was conceivable.
I don't know what you're supposed to do. Like they had Tony Dungy was going over and he's like, well, you got to bump these guys at the line of scrimmage. I'm like, I don't know. Then you lose those two guys because they're slowing down, whatever. And I mean, Murray made a great, great play avoiding the sack and rolling left. And just stopping short of going out of bounds and then heaving it. I was trying to think, like, how do you explain to, like, someone from another country or someone watching football for the first time the emotions involved with that? Because I know you had Arizona and, you know, you have them to win the division. And more importantly, you have the Dolphins to win the division. So you got to get the Bills out of there. So
and I had money on the Cardinals, too. I also had the minus.
So that's the thing. So you have minus 1.5. Oh, well, you had 1.5. Oh, okay.
I had -1.5 in ZFL, but then I had -2.5 on one bet and the money line in the other.
Yeah. So real FanDuel lines were -2.5 and -3. So when he throws the touchdown, what a range of emotions. First, start with the Diggs touchdown. You're distraught, right? That's crazy. That was a Cardinals game the whole way. Then Murray throws the Hail Mary, or the Hail Murray, as everybody's calling it.
Hail Murray.
Hail Murray.
It's a good one.
And he catches it and everyone's going crazy. And then they kneel the 2-point conversion, or what should have been an extra point, to go up 3 because a block kick, another smart play, but cost betters because if the block kick return for the all the way goes 2 the other way, and that's a win or a tie. Now I'm confused. But anyway, So how do you explain that to someone who's never seen the game? All the emotions, like, but that was just the greatest catch of all time. Yeah, but they knelt down on the 2-point conversion. It's just so
I
weird.
Hated the kneel down, but it actually made sense with the math because two or three didn't matter because if the only way they were going to lose is a kick return for a touchdown.
Right, exactly.
So once I realized that, I wasn't as bitter, but yeah, it was like, oh. And then I couldn't remember if it was -2 or -2.5. You go check, you're like, oh my God. But,
Well, here's what I'll say for anyone who's out there, and I know I got a lot of people reached out. If you had Cleveland, if you had Arizona, both minus the points, you kind of didn't deserve to win both. You kind of did, right? Like Cleveland was running the clock there. Cleveland's running out the clock. He broke
That's
it,
fair.
Right? Maybe Arizona you deserved to win because they had the lead and everything and they should have held on and everything. But, you know, with 11 seconds left, you were losing that game outright, so... I don't know. I'm trying to make someone feel better. I know I'm not.
I just couldn't believe I was on the right side of one of those for one of the few times in my life. Usually you and I are on the other side.
Right.
Celebrating the Stephon Diggs touchdown. So I don't know if that was the play that made the Hopkins trade officially a complete disaster and a complete shit show. I think it probably happened before that, but if you're here, like David Johnson's on the IR, they got a second round pick for him. They stink. They don't have their first or second next year. Miami has both. And then you watch that. If you're a Texans fan, I remember.
That's what I'm saying. Deshaun Watson should watch that Hail Mary and just like, I'm getting the fuck out of here. I can't do this.
He just signed a giant deal. Where's he going to go?
We got to get him out. He's got to get out. He'll take less.
I remember I went in the December of 2001. I was working for Page Two my first year. And I went to cover the gallerifurniture.com bowl. Because I wanted to cover like a random dumb bowl. And Stoner was doing that game. He was a sideline reporter.
Awesome.
So I pitched it to them. I'm going to go down there. I'm going to cover the gallerifurniture.com bowl. I'll write a column. It's somewhere in my archives. So
Where was it?
It was in Houston. It was like at the old Astrodome.
Okay.
So I was in Houston for a couple of days. And it was the year the Texans were becoming a team.
Yeah.
And you was just listening to talk radio driving around. And they're like, you know, they don't even have a team yet. And they're talking about who they might get. And there was so much excitement. And then you think like almost 20 years later, it's just like, what were the wins for us? Where were the good times? We had some terrible playoff losses.
Played in the Shakey's Bowl like 4 to 6 years, 4 to 5 years.
The early Saturday game.
They did beat the Cowboys in their inaugural game. I remember that on a Sunday night, I believe. Yeah, not too much better than that, really. That was it.
It's 20 years of just blah. And now, you know, this Cards team really does have a chance. We talked about it last week with the, you know, their ceiling in the NFC. They really have a chance to make it the Super Bowl. And if you're a Texans fan, you just got to, it has to be like how I felt with the Mookie Betts trade, but without the four World Series.
For sure. And I know you have Kyler for MVP. I got in on that a little late, but that's, I have to look back. I keep meaning to look this up. Now, in the NBA, you kind of have to be a top two seed to make the MVP, except for the Westbrook year a few years ago, right? You have to be a top two seed. Can he win MVP and not win the NFC West? That's not out of the question that they win the NFC West, but that is such a logjam, and he's so freaking good. He's got 9 touchdowns in as many games rushing, and he's just phenomenal. You talk about an easy sports gambling bet. They don't move that rushing yards past 54 yards. He had 67 and it was a bad game for him today. 110, 106 last week. A lot of fun to watch.
I mean, there's no great NFC team. They're going to be probably the 4 or 5 best. I think they're the best NFC West team personally, but just in general, they'll probably end up in the top 3. I think he's the safest MVP bet. I actually had that in my notes. I want to talk about that quick because Wilson lost all the momentum. And I think we should probably start monitoring this. The rabbit in the September that grabs the MVP favorite thing. It seems like that guy never actually wins the MVP. The guy after 3 or 4 weeks, everybody gets all excited about.
Mm-hmm.
And then by week 10, it's completely different.
Well, last year was Mahomes, but then he got hurt. That was the problem there, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And then Lamar kind of took over when Mahomes got hurt.
Yeah.
So I don't know. If you said who's the MVP right now, I think it's a legitimate discussion to have. We're 10 weeks in. I think it would be Kyler Murray.
You think so?
Yeah.
I have to look back to see if you could get a wild card team in. I know I don't want to discount them because they could win the West, but he's over Mahomes. Mahomes' numbers are great too. They're so good.
I thought they were winning the division. Yeah, they're winning the tiebreaker. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Well, they play. They're at Seattle. Yeah,
I would say him or Kamara right now. Kamara was good again today. He was awesome.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think that would be my top two right now.
Well, how much better do you, it's hard to pick against Mahomes. He's got, where the hell is he here? Wait, did I see that right? 25 touchdowns and only one interception, right?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's pretty freaking good. I mean, that team's not going to win 13 games without him. They're all great.
That's true. So you're saying if Chiefs go 14-2,
yeah,
it's hard to not give him that.
Right. And even if Arizona goes 10-6 and wins the division, it's a tough one. But I'll say this. I think the NFC, where we went over every combination of all these 6-3 teams, I'm 95% sure I can name the 7 playoff teams. Right?
In the NFC.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clark and I did this on Thursday, and it was, unless you're saying the Vikings could crash the party, it's really hard to
come up with an
Vikings, eight team. Vikings, Bears, 49ers, Falcons. Those are the outside teams outside looking in. I don't know. I don't even think tomorrow's game matters.
I think the 49ers died today, unfortunately.
Yeah,
we have that was some
a dumb bet.
We have some ample candidates for our cross-off game. Mm-hmm. So the Arizona thing, they're a delight. Miami, let's talk about them quickly. Mm. Could not be more fun to watch. Tua, we said 2 weeks ago, like, man, I just didn't see it. He didn't have any wow factor at all. Last week he did. This week he did. His play action quick pass thing is so precise.
Yep.
He looks like he's been doing it for 10 years. And I don't know. I thought the Chargers kind of, if they hadn't gotten that stupid fumble, I think they would have won that game by 40 points. They're up 14-0. They're driving. The center just snaps it under to his hands. All of a sudden, the Charger, now it's 14-7. Right. But I think that game was going to headed for like 38-7.
It's just
I thought Miami dominated
team.
Them.
It's a different team without Bosa, right, that Chargers team. But you're right. And I would love, I mean, Tua, as good as he is, he's coming into a system where that defense keeps you in the game every single time you step on the field. Xavier Howard's all over the place. And Tua might only need to do what he did today, 15 for 25, 169, two touchdowns, and a bunch of rushing yards, and just be as precise as he is. And he seemed like the more experienced quarterback over Herbert. I know they're both rookies, but... Herbert's got twice as many games, right? At least. They look dynamite. I'm excited to have them in the playoffs. Like, I'm excited to have them in. I'm excited to have Arizona. It's like, there's really no one I really don't want. I guess the Raiders, you might have asked me this. I don't even think I answered. I guess the Raiders would be like, yeah, I could do without them or the Browns, but we're going to have a good eight on each side or a good seven on each side, whatever it ends up being.
Well, the real story is the Shakey's game might have to be an NFC game this year.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember the last time that's happened.
You're right. It's always usually Cincinnati or Houston or Buffalo or one of those teams that,
yeah.
that maybe went in. Yep.
Or the Jags. Yeah, I think I've watched a lot of the Dolphins the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I think their defense is legit good. Like they can create pressure all kinds of ways. Like they could just do the straight push. They can send the guys flying from the sides, like the linebacker defensive end types.
Yep.
They have these timely blitzes. The guy, they're just flying at the quarterback
over and over again. Van Noy was out today, right? He was out for a lot of it. Yeah.
I thought they really gave the Chargers a lot of trouble. I felt bad for Herbert because the play calling was atrocious. I just felt like you're not going to be able to run.
Did you have Miami? I was like, this is too, oh man, I was so scared of it. I was like, what the hell? Why is this 1.5? They're making this way too easy. And it was just that easy.
I actually crushed my bets today until the Ravens game when it all came crashing down. But that's fine because the Patriots won. I think Miami's legit good. And if I'm just looking at the AFC right now, the only team I like more than them is Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
I think they could absolutely play with Pittsburgh. As you know, I know Pittsburgh's 9-0, I get it. And their receivers are really good and they can extend leads, the whole thing. But Ben's taking some fucking shots this year.
Yeah.
He really has. Like I'm skeptical that he's gonna last for 5 months with some of the hits he's taking. We already saw Breeze finally go down today. These old guys taking 2-3 giant hits a game. It's not sustainable, I don't think.
Did you see him on Monday? Like before he had to do the, I think it was Monday's practice, before he had to be isolated for the COVID, the tracing and everything. He had like a big pack on his shoulder, another one on his knee. He looked like it was in a Bugs Bunny cartoon. Like,
right.
This guy, he really does. I don't know if he's going to make it to the end. I know you can't talk bad about Alex Smith, but this is the comeback play of the year, right? Big Ben Roethlisberger, if they go 15-1 with this team,
totally agree.
I'm sorry if he lasts to the end. He's the guy.
Alex Smith. Bet on Alex Smith though, because he's definitely winning.
Well, the funny thing is, and we went through with this with House on the text chain. Like, you can't say anything bad about Alex Smith, and you don't want the worst thing you could say about him is, wow, Haskins must be really bad.
Right, but Haskins must be truly terrible. And House was like, "That's what I'm telling you guys. Haskins got to be the worst ever if Alex Smith's playing over
him." That's it. That's
yeah,
as bad, politically correct as you get. But,
yeah, if I'm Pittsburgh, if I'm a Pittsburgh fan, I'm very concerned about all the hits Roethlisberger takes in these games.
Because he's big. They had 44 yards rushing today. I know Cincinnati was going to be, you could beat them many different ways. And they beat him basically by forcing Burrow out. You know, I think TJ Watt had two sacks. Bud Dupree had a sack. Burrow was like 21 for 40. So he wasn't going to beat them. So, but Big Ben, he ended up with four touchdown passes. They need him in there for sure. We saw what it's like without him.
I like the Bengals a lot as a possible underdog. You know, parlay, all that stuff. But the no mixing thing, it's they're not beating right. the Steelers without mixing. That was right. that was a pretty big red flag. Oh, let's do cross-offs quick, and then we'll do guest lines.
Okay. Now, so I always forget who we have.
So we have Giants, Jets, Jaguars, Bengals, Texans, Chargers. And I think we can cross off the Panthers. Is the yeah. safest one. I refuse to cross off anyone in the NFC East seventh podcast in a row. NFC East right now, Eagles 3-5, Giants 3-7.
Mm-hmm.
Eagles are 3-5-1. Giants 3-7, Washington 2-7, and your stupid team's 2-7.
Mm-hmm.
You're a game and a half out of first. Somehow.
Well, did you look at the Eagles schedule? That's the problem there. Because the Eagles only have, you know, if everybody's playing each other in the NFC East, it's one thing. But the Eagles have only two NFC East games left. They're at the Browns. They play the Seahawks. They're at the Packers. They play the Saints. And they're at the Cardinals. Those are their next, what did I say, five? That could be 1-4 going into week 16.
You know what else I looked at?
What?
The Eagles. They suck. That team's awful. If you have any Philly fans in your life, just email, text them during the Eagles game and be like, hey, man, what do you think of Wentz? They just get mad. Wentz has no fans left. He's completely lost. He's lost his base. It's like Merrick Garcetti in L.A. during June. He's just completely lost everyone.
I don't even know what I was watching in that game. How many games do you see where both quarterbacks have no touchdowns and no interceptions? It was such a weird game. And Daniel Jones is just like, hey, I know this team can't tackle me, so I'm just going to run. Maybe I'll fall on my face. Maybe I'll get into the end zone. He scores. That set the tempo. But then, like, the Eagles had, like, Boston Scott had a good day rushing. Sanders had a good day rushing. They had over 150 yards rushing. I don't get how they're not winning these games.
Are we sure the Giants aren't good?
No. I commented that they might be the fourth best team in the NFC.
They lose to the Rams by 8. They lose to your dumb team. They blow it.
Tampa Bay, that was the game Dak got hurt. Two overthrows. Otherwise, they win the Tampa Bay game.
Yeah, they lose the Eagles by 1. They lose to the Bucs by 2. They should have won.
Yeah.
Beat Washington and beat the Eagles. They've been pretty solid now for 6-7 weeks.
They'll stick around.
And that's before we talk about the freaking Saquon, the Ewing theory potential with Saquon.
You know what? They play for that Joe Judge. They don't give up on it. You could tell they play hard. Like linebackers, everyone defensively plays hard.
Joe Judge.
They could be all right. But so what would that look like? If they win the division, get the 4 seed, then you got Tom Brady, right, as the 5, assuming they don't win the division over the Saints. You got that rematch.
Bucks, Giants. So that can't be the Shakey's game.
Right, that won't be. That's why the NFC, because if Tampa Bay's on the road, they won't make it the early Saturday.
Yeah, they're going to figure out how to make it AFC. It'll probably be, if the Browns get in, the Browns are guaranteed to be the Shakey's game.
Well,
just for the people listening, our fantasy draft that I got kicked out of, every Saturday, the first playoff game, we would have the banquet at Shakey's Pizza, which we've joked about in this podcast a million times. It's the Shakey's Pizza on Santa Monica between La Brea and Highland. I can't say it's a nice establishment.
No, you don't have to say that.
And you'll see some things. And especially lately, last 9 months, not really an area you want to hang out in.
No.
So we would go and we would have the Shakey's Pizza, and it would always be a terrible game. And the only time we ever had a good game was Tebow. That was Tebow. Right.
One hit,
he beat the Steelers. That was like the only good Shakey's game ever. Usually it was like Matt Schaub, Andy Dalton, the rematch.
Yeah.
So
we could get Colts Dolphins this year. We can get something like that. That could be good.
Or maybe they put, I feel like they're going to want Tua over the Bills, right? If the Bills and Dolphins are in there.
Yeah.
It feels like Bills Titans. That's going to be my prediction for the Shakey's game.
Yeah.
Don't you think? Like a little Bills Titans action?
That's probably more
or Bills Colts.
Because we had Bills Texans last year, right?
Wasn't that? Yeah. I think that's what it feels like. All right, we're going to take a break and do Guess the Lines. All right, we're going to do Guess the Lines. We use FanDuel's line for these. Add a little excitement to your sports watching experience by betting on all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook this football season. Their app is simple to use. They've got great odds on all different betting markets, unique fun bet types like same game parlay, exclusive always on promotions to get more action out of every game day for you. And if you win, they even get your winnings safely in as little as 24 hours. Right now, FanDuel letting you place your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Just place a bet on any game. FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back if you don't win your first bet. No strings attached. Place any bet you want. If you win, keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in site credit. You can do this tomorrow night. If you like the Bears, if you think there's too many people on the Vikings, Bears +3, go for it. We're going to talk about some bets for next weekend that we like as we do Guess the Lines. In 1 second, download the FanDuel Sports app to get started. Be sure to sign up with promo code BS so they know I sent you. FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code BS. Must be 21 plus, present in Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, West Virginia, Indiana, Colorado, Iowa, or Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Site credit non-withdrawable expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problem. Colorado, 800-522-4700. Iowa, 800-BETS-OFF. Indiana, 800-9-WITH-IT. New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, 800-GAMBLER. Tennessee, 800-889-9789. Or West Virginia, 1800-GAMBLER.net. Before we do Guess the Lines, we have to talk about today's other star, Aqib Talib, who I'm not sure he should be announcing NFL games, but I really liked him. I actually think he's a podcast host. I don't know if he's an announcer because he couldn't figure out. He would just kind of keep talking as the play was going on and he was all over the map. And
yeah,
but I thought he was really kind of captivating. I hope they bring him back. Okay. He was certainly more interesting than a lot of these generic guys I never know who, or like the Dick Stockton and whoever, or
yeah, no, it was definitely
Chris Myers and whoever. Interesting is the word.
I said, let's just set it up. So Fox had all the early games, right? Because CBS only had golf. So
yeah.
Then it became like, all right, we have five games here. I think I likened it to like, hey, it's Christmas Day. I know everybody wants to be with their family, but attention Walmart employees, we need people to man the registers. Who can we get? They got Aqib Talib. He filled in on that. They put him on Detroit, Washington, right? Maybe thinking that nobody was going to be watching.
But it turned out to be one of the games of the day.
He was interesting. Yeah, he was definitely interesting.
One thing I loved, other than him just continuing to do his analysis as the next play was going on, he would get so mad at the pass interferences. I've never heard an announcer get more upset. And every time he didn't think it was pass interference, right?
Right.
He's like classic defensive back standing up for the other defensive backs. I got to say, it was a roller coaster ride with Aqib.
Yeah.
And yet, I hope they give us another ticket. I would rather have that than 75%. It was like an SNL sketch.
Oh, he'll be back. He'll be back. You didn't hear Tessitore Saturday night on. He wasn't even the problem, but the Crawford fight that was insanity. Anyway, we can go on.
Hold on, I got to play you something really quick. So. You remember last week I was talking about when I was driving back from Phoenix, listening to the Cardinals announcers, and they had the guy who talks like this, and I love the guy. He was so into the game.
Yeah,
I really did enjoy the broadcast, the local one. So Peter Schrager sent me his call of the Hopkins Hail Mary.
Yeah.
So this is after the play-by-play guy. This is just the other guy. Hopefully you'll be able to hear that.
You can't cover Duke! That's what Kyler Murray did. He extended the play with his legs and just chucked that thing up into the air. Into the desert sky, baby. And D-Hop brought it down.
Who is it? Is it John Murphy?
His name's Ron Wolfley. We might have to invite him on the podcast.
Let's bring him on.
I think we need to have him do Guess the Lines with us. I love Ron Wolfley. Him and Aqib Talib are my media heroes of 2020.
Ron Wolfley, though, they'll be paired together. That would be terrific.
Oh my God. Listen, the longer this Cards thing goes, the more Ron Wolfley we have. Ron, I really enjoyed the broadcast last week. Keep it up.
I've only heard 10 seconds of him, and I feel like he's doing your Andrew the Giant Luck impression.
He is. Guess the lines, all lines, courtesy of FanDuel, Thursday night.
Yep.
Crazy, this game's happening. The Cards are back in action. So we're going to get a lot of Kyler Murray MVP stuff next 4 days.
Yeah, for
I
sure.
I feel like we talked about it last week. It was 33-1. It was 25-1 2 days ago. Now it's got to be, I would guess, down to like 10-1.
Too many people are talking about it. I think it's inside of 10-1 now. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, this is the DK Metcalf chase down rematch, right?
Right. Seahawks, Cardinals in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And if you're a Seattle fan, you can't be excited about what you're watching.
No, definitely
not.
Your
defense isn't good. Russ looks like he's starting to wear down from all the use. You have no good running backs. And this is an alarming game. I have, just out of respect, pure respect for Russ Wilson, -3 Seahawks.
All right. You're going to get mad because you're going to think I cheated off the bat, but I hit it exactly. It's 3.5.
Mm.
I was so mad at Seattle today. I had them all over the place, and it was probably a bad spot because Rams are great defensively, but coming off the loss, like I think Seattle had lost back-to-back once in 31 games or something. But Pete Carroll, they get that gift field goal of 58 or 100 yards, whatever it was, right before the half ends. Like, holy crap. The guy nails it. They get the ball in the third quarter. They get 4th and inches. 4th and inches is not 4th and 1.5, right?
Yeah.
4th and inches, you go for it. Pete Carroll does the worst thing. He calls timeout and then does the hard count and then ends up punting. And then the Rams get like a 6-minute drive and score. And then it's like, it's kind of over. It's like, I just couldn't take it. And I also, why aren't they designing runs for Russell Wilson? Why is he only taking off when he's in trouble? I don't know.
I think it's hard just, when you have no run game. I think they're a little handcuffed by that.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. The coaching was not great on the Seattle side today. Our friend Pete Carroll. But they just looked sloppy. It looked like the Rams were better prepared. The other thing is, I think there's 4 or 5 quarterbacks right now that if the other team doesn't have a pass rush and you watch their offense, you're like, oh, why isn't that one of the best teams? And the Rams are a little bit like that, right? When Goff has time. And, you know, he had banged up receivers today, too. But it's just, he just seems so calm and in control. And you can kind of see how he was the number one pick. Phil Rivers was like that on Thursday night because the Titans couldn't pressure them.
Yeah.
I think I just it's a good thing to remember.
There was dumb things, though. Like Seattle, like he had like 20 yards in front of him. He could have run for a first down and he threw it and it was picked, right? It's like,
it's bad.
It's like when you're playing Madden and you hit you're trying to hit the turbo button and you hit the wrong button, you throw it. Instead of running, I mean, that's what that was. There's too many mistakes there.
I'm sorry.
I know.
I had the Rams. I actually liked the Rams today. And I can't really totally explain it. It was came down to McVay and the fact that I didn't think they could rush Goff.
Well, people who like exciting shit are going to not like what I'm about to say. The Rams are the most balanced team in that division. They are, right? Like Seattle has their flaws. Arizona has their flaws. The Rams could do a little of everything. Don't you think?
Yeah. Well, they can definitely pressure.
Mm-hmm.
They can defend pretty well pass stuff. You know, I mean, they mortgaged the future for this year's team. I would hope they're pretty good.
Yep.
But, you know, the running game, you kind of never know who the running back is. It's one of those teams. But they were moving the ball today. I thought they did a pretty good job.
Akers, Brown, Henderson, all around 30 yards. Yeah. All the same, kind of the same thing every week. Yep.
Not fun for fantasy. All right. Sunday's marquee game. Blank. I left it blank. There's no Sunday marquee game.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. No, there's a good one.
There is?
There's a 7-2 against a 6-3.
You're not going to say Colts Packers, are you?
Yeah, why not?
God damn it.
Well, it doesn't matter what I say.
Are you really excited about Colts Packers? Fine, I'll move it into the marquee spot.
I think I am. I know everyone hates the Packers. Everyone hates the Packers. It's good. 7-2, 6-3.
Near the end of that Packers game, it was like 4th and 20 with Jake Luton free.
Yeah.
And they called timeout, and two of the Packers' best defensive guys came over. They were talking to Rodgers, and Rodgers was like telling them what to do. What do you think he was telling them?
I don't know.
He's a quarterback. What kind of advice was he dropping?
I'm the master of the Hail Mary, and one may be coming your way, even though they're way short of the end zone.
So maybe
here's what you do. Yeah, that I like. I call them. I like Luton free a lot. I call them Vladimir Luton because I had the Packers.
I like that.
I had the Packers to cover the spread, and he was not allowing it to happen.
Vlad Luton.
Yeah.
All right. Sunday marquee. Colts home against the Packers. Mm-hmm. And the Colts, I don't fully understand it, but they're right in the middle of this whole playoff race. The Jonathan Taylor pick was a borderline whiff. I think we're all waiting for him to be good, but considering that was like their big asset, you see what some of these other first round running back receiver guys have done, and he's kind of lost his job. Rivers has been kind of a whiff.
But Nyheim Hines $25 million is really good. I mean, that guy's fun to watch, Hines, right? I mean, he's a totally NC State guy too.
But I'm just saying they used $25 million for Phil Rivers and their first round pick on a running back, and both of them are liabilities, and yet they're 6-3.
That was a weird game. That was maybe the fixed line of the week, right? When the Colts ended up being favored at Tennessee, who has a better record, and Tennessee has fans and all that stuff, and they crush them in the second half, 34-17.
You did. You went live at halftime.
I did, yeah. Yeah, you went live for FanDuel.
You did an against all odds FanDuel live thing. So was Harry, like, what was he? He looked like he was enhanced.
Harry's in there. You know, we talk about the first half, and I'm like, Harry, while we're talking about the first half, tell us your favorite second half FanDuel props. And he has like 17 ready at the ready. And I'm like, all right, I don't know how we tell people to bet those, but go do it now. Yeah, they really do have a lot to bet.
The second half started. Harry's still giving props.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I have Colts by 1.5 over the Packers.
Who gets this?
I don't feel good about it.
Oh, you do. You get it. Damn it. I said 2. It's 1.
Mm.
That's fair, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting. The Packers have a chance to be the 1 seed in the NFC,
mm-hmm.
and they can't even be favored against Phil Rivers.
Everybody hates this Packers team. I think they're good. I think they could, you know, I think they would play well with everyone except maybe Kansas City right now in the Super Bowl.
I'm warming up to them. The watchables, we have 2. First one is Saints home against the Falcons, which allows us to talk about my guy Jameis. We got a little Jameis today, Sal.
We did. He came in there.
He only had 1 drop pick, no picks. 1 should have been picked.
I bought the Saints up to 10.5. I bought San Francisco up to 10.5. They're winning 10-0. I love them. You know, they extended drives with their dumb defense, San Francisco, and the Saints scored. Then Jameis goes out. And then
the punt was the big play. It was 10-3.
The punt return? What was it?
No, the punt bounced and hit the guy in the face.
Oh, the bad
mask.
Punt. Right. Yes.
The Niners have got like another stop. And then all of a sudden now it's 10-10 and you knew the game was over.
But Mullins had a chance to stop. And that, like you said, when you drop a Jameis pick, you ought to be extra ashamed of yourself. I mean,
yeah, it should count like 2 drop picks.
Exactly. It's right in his breadbasket and it's Jameis. And I don't know. I didn't like the play that took, they got a 15-yard penalty on the play that took Breeze out. I didn't love that.
It was very similar to Pats Ravens without the monsoon and the result where you're watching the first quarter and you're like, holy shit, mm-hmm. they could actually beat them. This is crazy.
Right.
And then that punt thing flipped it. And then the Breeze thing was weird and he stayed on the sideline. He looked so unhappy. I don't know why he didn't just go in the locker room.
Yeah, right.
And I couldn't tell if he was concussed or he got benched and it's like, something's wrong with his ribs. But the stuff after the game was really strange because they were like, it seemed like almost a culmination of all of these minor injuries and it's like he's broken.
Yeah, that's it. Well, there's no line on this game because they don't have him. I would have said 4.5, but they don't know if he's starting or Taysom Hill or Jameis. I think they're in decent shape with any of those guys.
Let's just have the conversation now. Is Jameis picked up in our fantasy league? Is Jameis going to be a live fantasy guy this week? I feel like he is.
I feel like his ceiling is higher than Breeze's in fantasy.
I mean, he might be the quarterback the rest of the way. He could play for like next 6 weeks. Who knows?
Yeah, if
Breeze might have like 3 broken ribs.
You're right. That's the way to do it, I think. You
could argue he's like a $25 fantasy auction guy.
Really? That much?
Yeah. Oh.
All right. Well, you just
could have the Saints quarterback for 6 weeks. I have no money left, so I'm happy to say it.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I don't mind either of those guys starting over Breeze. I'm not sure. I mean, they'll win this game, right?
Oh, wait. I have to talk to the dimwits listening who are in fantasy leagues where they just drafted round by round.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Hey, for you guys, the guys who weren't strong enough to be in a real league, in an auction league. So if whoever's top of your fantasy order, you have first dibs on Jameis. That's for the under 80 IQ leagues. If you're in one of those leagues, I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. And if you feel insulted, I'm sorry, but I'm insulted that you're in a league that's not money.
Yeah.
It's auction all the way. There's no other way to have fantasy.
I'm in a big money league with like Scott Van Pelt and Clay Travis and Todd Furman and like a bunch of ESPN people and like poker players who bet each other thousands of dollars on their individual game. It was a snake draft. They don't allow trades because there's been so much impropriety in the past. And it's just like you said, for the free agent, the waiver wire, like, no, you took someone last week. Oh, your team was out because of COVID. You had to take a defense. So you cannot draft. You can't bid on Mike Davis.
Oh, my God.
I was like, I'm out of this. This is crazy already. What are you talking about? So it's all about the draft.
That's terrible.
I know.
That's my son's league. Somebody waived, I mean, these are seventh and eighth graders. Somebody waived Juju Smith-Schuster for some reason.
Oh, no.
And he was top of the order. He's like, I'm going to get Juju Smith-Schuster. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I call the under 80 IQ leagues.
Yeah, right. It's kids'
Come
table.
Come on. Just be in auctions, people. Yeah, the kids' table.
Right. That's all.
That's what it should be called. The kids' table leagues.
Yeah.
Yeah, like my son. You get to be like my son if you're round by round thing. People get mad and they're like, oh, fuck you. But I'm right. There's no argument here. Be in an auction. That's the real way to do it.
Yep.
So Ravens coming off the monsoon loss and their home for the Titans. This is a classic. Neither of us are feeling really good about our team. The Ravens got more injuries today. And at some point, we talked about this with the Niners like 4 weeks ago. You have that point of no return with the injuries. Mm-hmm. They're not there yet because they have so much talent, but I'm flagging it now because if they have one more game like the one today where guys are just getting carried off.
What was the play? The Patriots scored a touchdown. They cut away to the Patriots celebration, and the very next cutaway is two Ravens down.
It's just lying on their faces.
Right. It's like, oh,
yeah, that was weird. I have Ravens by 6.
That's exactly what I had. And it's 7, and it hasn't changed. I thought maybe it would change after the game based on, you know, the lethargic performance, but maybe they're banking on this is a team that knocked them out of the playoffs. Not a kitchen sink game, but shit, if they don't win this, lots of problems kind of thing.
Lamar down 10 or more, you just don't feel like he can bring him back.
Right.
And
yeah, right.
He really does lock in on his receivers. Like I felt pretty comfortable. I mean, granted, I had money on the Ravens, but once it became clear the Pats were going to win, it was impossible not to root for the Pats.
Well, he should get better facing that Tennessee secondary. I think Phil Rivers had like 320 against them the other day. But defensively, you're going to see the same thing you saw tonight, right? Where like, you know, Patriots ran all over him. Derrick Henry's a hard physical runner. It's going to be about the same.
Hmm. This is a stay away. Barely watchables. There's a lot. There's many. You want to do Lions Panthers now just because there's no line?
Yeah, there's no line. We still don't know about Teddy Two Gloves. Probably not playing, right? I mean, anything with a knee? Looks like you sit out a week.
I guess Panthers -3, but who knows? I got to say, I don't mind their backup.
Walker? PJ
Walker, the XFL guy? I kind of like that guy. Did you see him when he came in that one game? He played a couple plays. The game Bridgewater sucked. I was like, yeah, this guy's...
You know, on Fox Bet Live the other day, when analyzing Tampa Bay, Carolina, I'm like, Carolina has a lot of problems. One of those problems is they have 6 guys on their roster who went to Temple University. That can't be good for a team.
Is that true?
They do. And PJ Walker's one of them. And the Temple people went crazy on me. And I was like, take it easy. You know I'm right here, right? It's not a hub of a football, right? It's not the SEC. Like I know you don't have to have everyone from Alabama and LSU and Georgia, but 6 guys from Temple, that's 11% of your roster. but they hate
so
me
if they're Temple. So if somebody's listening who went to Temple and is in a round by round fantasy draft, they're just furious right now. They might not come back.
Yeah, they're
so mad at us.
Waiting outside my house.
All right, Browns are home for the just horrific Eagles.
Yeah. this is a good spot for them, right? Though the Eagles, when they're underdog, you don't have to give. You don't want them giving points, but
I just didn't know what to pick. I picked Browns by 4. I don't even feel good about
it. That's exactly what I said. It's 3.5.
Oh man,
we tied a couple here. I don't know what to say. I don't know. Like I said,
it's just the thing. I can't really make fun of the Eagles because they beat the Pats in the Super Bowl 2+ years. They still get to dine off that, but goddamn, Wentz, he's another one.
I don't feel confident in him at all. He didn't even throw a pick. He had 16 turnovers coming into today, and like you would think that would be the problem. But yeah, 21 for 37, 208. Not really throwing downfield a lot. I don't know what you're going to expect from this dude.
Don't you think now it's kind of in his head a little?
Yeah,
because he was doing a little check down Charlie in the parts I saw.
It should be in his head. It's a bad team.
I think he is a trade candidate this year just because the Eagles fans, I don't know if they can go another 5-6 years with him.
Yeah.
Maybe he could be in the James Harden trade. Patriots are home. Oh, I'm sorry. Patriots are on the road against the Texans of Houston.
Let me see if this changed, but go ahead. Yeah. Nope, didn't. All right.
I have the Pats by 2.
I had the Pats by 1. FanDuel has it. Houston 2.5.
Okay.
That's your best bet?
No, the Pats, like if they're down 10-3, you feel like the game's over.
Yeah.
I can't remember the Pats ever losing the Texans. I know we've had different players now, but I don't know. Romeo Crennel against Belichick, I don't see it.
It's amazing. 4-5 against 2-7 here. 2 playoff teams last year, obviously.
Dolphins are at Denver.
This is a watchable, isn't it? Anytime the Dolphins are playing.
I had it as a barely watchable because Denver has been so awful.
Ugh.
These are Denver's, and I actually thought, I picked them in ZFL. I didn't bet on the game.
Mm-hmm.
I actually thought maybe they would show up in this game, but no. So last 4 weeks, they lose to the Chiefs by 27. They beat the Chargers by 1 in a game they never should have won.
Mm-hmm.
Lose to the Falcons by 7. Lose to the Raiders by 25. The arrow's pointing down.
Locked the arrow's pointing down. He had 4 picks. You're about to say 4 picks. Right? Like he's getting worse.
It's tough because now you're at the point where you kind of want to finish 3-13 if you're them.
Mm-hmm.
And at least be in the vicinity of maybe drafting a QB.
Right.
I mean, how it worked out for Miami is amazing, where they're going to tank for Tua. They end up actually like getting their shit together to the point where they don't even finish in the bottom 4, but then Tua drops because he gets hurt and they get him anyway.
Yeah. And they have the distinction of kind of ruining the Patriots' legacy there or their dynasty. By knocking them out of the bye. Well, Fitzmagic knocked them out of the 2. You got to credit somebody. Who do you want to credit?
Ended is the wrong word.
The Titans?
Maybe they they facilitated the conclusion of the Patriots dynasty.
Okay. I got to choose. You're right.
Ended sounds like, you know.
Look, I apologize. So it's that. It's the Temple thing and it's the draft thing. I have a lot of people to apologize to.
The Temple round by round guy is furious right now. I have Dolphins by 4.5.
That's exactly what I had. And I didn't even think that was enough. And it's Dolphins by 2.5. So this is a... Well, first of all, it's got to go up to our number, right? Everybody loves betting the Dolphins.
When we finish recording, I'm going to send the file to Kyle and I'm going to bet in the Dolphins.
Should we pause now? Just in case.
Yeah, hold on. Actually, let's take a break. I'm going to bet the Dolphins. We'll be right back. All right, couple more games. Vikings home against your crappy Cowboys.
Yeah. All right.
Dalton? We get Dalton in this game?
They're looking for Dalton, yeah. I mean, they're actually looking for him. He fled the team. No, they're looking at him. They think he'll be back. I don't even know who's on this team anymore. those two players a day.
Part of the problem with this Vikings thing is they're playing the Bears Monday night, and that could swing this line by 2 points. But for now, I assume they're going to play the Bears well. Yep. They're, I think, 3-point dogs. I have the Vikings giving 5 to the Cowboys.
I said 6.5, and it's 7.5. That's okay. Your teaser game. That's a teaser. That's one. Just find another.
Let me tell you something. Kirk Cousins will never be in a teaser that I make.
Don't worry about it. He's handing off to, you talk about MVPs. What does Minnesota have to end up for Dalvin Cook to be MVP?
If they beat Bears, Cowboys back to back and he has like 370 yards in those two games, then he's in the conversation.
Yep.
You made a pretty compelling point against Mahomes. I guess I didn't want to admit that Mahomes is probably MVP, but
yeah. Well, when you're going to go 14-2, yeah, you have to look at that.
The thing is, though, if he got hurt and you replaced him with an average quarterback, I still feel like that's like a 10-6, 9-7 team.
Chad Henne, they might make it if he's a backup.
Chad Henne.
Well, he's their backup, I think. I see. Just replace him. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, if you replaced him with, like, I don't know, Phil Rivers.
Right. 3-13.
But if you... But in Arizona, you Kyler does everything for that team. And even they were down 23-9. I'm like, oh, he's got this. He's going to get one this year.
I'm with you. He's the new exciting quarterback. I think sometimes we replace exciting, but his numbers are great too. I don't want to do this to him. But sometimes if we get excited by a game, we have to put them in the top two for MVP.
Poopfecta. Three games in the poopfecta this week. First one, Washington is home for the Bengals.
Yep.
The Bengals might be the mediocre bad team where they play a really good team that's hopeless, but when they're playing Washington, they actually can look pretty good. I was impressed by Washington continuing to fight when they fell behind by 3 touchdowns. They actually tied the game, and it was a good job by them. I have Washington by 2.5.
You're going to edge me out here. I said 3. It's only 1.
Okay.
Making it a pick 'em here. What about rookie of the year? I know we talked about Herbert and Tua can't catch those guys, right? Because now he has 3 games.
Nah, he missed too many.
Herbert was the slight favorite going into this week. And obviously Burrow was 2nd. And then it doesn't really matter. And like Tua was 9-1 at 3rd.
Anybody else?
No, it was
Clyde Edwards-Helaire now.
No, James Robinson was even ahead of him.
I forgot James Robinson's a rookie.
Yeah.
There
weren't too many others.
If Herbert goes 3-13, he's not winning rookie of the year.
God.
And if Burrow goes 4-12, he probably, I don't know, maybe it will be Tua. It's a good one to watch.
Yeah. Well, let's keep an eye on it.
Zion played 25 games and finished 2nd rookie of the year somehow. So.
Right.
Next one, Steelers at Jacksonville against Vladimir, Vladimir Luton.
By the way, I hate to correct the NBA expert, but didn't Zion finish 3rd?
Did he? Who finished 2nd then?
Oh, wow.
I don't remember.
Wow. I think he did.
Remember John Wynn. Brandon Clark finished 2nd?
No. It was the other guy.
Kendrick Nunn?
Yeah, that's what it was. Let's see.
That's stupid.
Yes. Wow. Oh, yeah. Don't worry about it. You'll learn a lot from me. Don't worry about it.
That's ridiculous. That's just a sign of old age on my part.
498 from Morant. Nunn, 204. Zion, 140. Sorry. You tried. It's hard to keep up.
Zion was not on my ballot.
Well, that's good at least.
You play 1/3 of the season, you're not making my ballot.
He almost ruined the bubble. The bubble was created for him. They gave him every opportunity to make the playoffs. All right.
We did Steelers-Jags. I had Steelers by 11 over the
Sorry.
Jags.
I got it exactly, 10.5.
Oh, we're like right next to each other here.
Yep.
Who's winning right now?
It's 7-5, me. So we're not right next to each other. I got the benefit of 2 games being knocked off the board, but you got to get the next 2.
Okay. I have Chargers are home for the Jets. Chargers by 6.5 against a frisky Jets team.
I had 8. It's 9.5.
Oh, come on.
Come on, what? The Jets?
That's stupid. The Chargers are terrible. They might fire their coach tomorrow.
The Jets should have fired theirs a month ago.
The Jets at least played hard on Monday night. The Chargers rolled over.
No, the Jets.
Against the Pats?
I'll tell you what. The bet is Chargers in the second half right now because the Jets had 6 yards in the second half against the Pats. They had like 28 yards or something stupid. Maybe they don't give up right off the bat, but they're done by third quarter.
Yeah, the Chargers look pretty lively as they lost their fifth straight game.
Bosa probably comes back. He'll be all right.
It's a confounding. Warren Sharp has been doing a lot of stuff about how bad their play calling is. So now when I watch them, I'm thinking about it, about, you know, these the most obvious run plays where the other team knows they're running and they just run the ball on the line and it's second and 11.
Didn't they come back when they cut it to 7? They came out and they ran the ball like they're going to control the second half here. Did they? Did I not watch
that? They did.
That? Yeah.
They did. And then all of a sudden Miami took over. Sunday night, Chiefs at Raiders, Vegas. It's a tough one because I have no idea. Is Vegas good? Like, what do we make of this team? Plus, they already beat the Chiefs.
This was their most complete game today. They looked pretty good.
I bumped this high. I said Chiefs by 6.
I said 7.5, and it's 7. So I get that. But like you said, the Raiders beat them already, right?
Feels like you cheated this week.
No, don't worry about it. You edged me out on a bunch of them. We're gonna see trends all week about Andy Reid after a bye, and it was like 37-2 or something. This seems like a really good spot for the Chiefs. They don't want to go 0-2 against the Raiders, right? Then there's a problem.
What's Andy Reid's record coming off a bye when the country's about to shut down because of COVID?
What?
For the second time in 7 months. So it's 0-0?
Yeah, I think it's 0-0. I haven't been able to find that.
I think we're seeing you next week or next Friday.
I'm seeing
Friday.
A lot of you. I think you're coming on my podcast. I think you're, we're going to say, I might have two dinners with you. We have one Thursday, right?
Yeah.
With Jimmy?
This could be it.
Yeah.
2 weeks from now, we're all stuck in our houses and apartments and wherever's again.
I've not seen you in a year. I saw you, I think November 8th was your birthday party. And you probably don't remember seeing me that day either. But that was the last time.
I really don't. I saw you at the Ringer probably.
I didn't. No. We did that thing for the contest winner in October. Your birthday was November. That's the last day I saw a baby doll too. It's been over a year.
Well, we'll never see baby doll again. He's never leaving.
He's done.
Freaking COVID. Oh, by the way, my dad was upset about our conversation on Parent Corner last week about counting the trips left that your parents have to come visit.
He's like,
did you really do that? It's like, I'd like to think I'm more than 16. He was upset.
Just move him out here already. And then it's not even a conversation.
It's fine. Unbelievable. All right. Monday night, Bucks Rams.
All the night games
in Tampa.
Are great.
I thought Brown was pretty good in that game today.
Which Brown? Oh, Antonio Brown. I thought he meant the Rams running back. Yeah, he did. He extended.
Turns out
a couple
he's better
drives.
Than Scotty Miller. Yeah.
He's all right. It's not all flash. All those sleepovers paid off. He's going to be okay. They walloped them. What'd they score today?
They ended up with 46.
46? Jesus.
And whatever they're doing to Gronk, he looks as good as he's looked in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the TB12, whatever's going on, Florida.
Yeah, for sure.
Eating alligators, God only knows.
And Ronald Jones, everyone was cursing him. I think he fumbled in the first quarter, right? And then he had that monster run. He ended up with 192. Their defense was good. I know Bridgewater went out, but I think they only allowed like 215 yards of total defense or something.
Yeah.
They're back. Everyone screamed about them. They're 7-3. They're going to be fine, Tampa.
I had the Bucks -5 over the Rams.
No, too high. I had 3. It's 3.5.
What too high? It's Jared Goff against a good defense. Why is that too high?
You saw the Rams. The Rams beat Seattle, who's everyone's best team in the NFC. I don't know. Can't make it 5. Do we even have a teaser? We'll put the Chiefs with something. Chiefs and Vikings?
The Chiefs going to lose to the Raiders twice, probably.
No. All right, that's a win for me. 7-2-2 now, or 2-7-2.
You're 2-7-2. One thing with the Rams, they are going to be able to pressure Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they can do the thing where they just move him, make him have to go right or left, he's not the same guy. That's what the Saints did to him. I think the Rams could do that.
Can we decide the inadvertent slap on the face mask by a defender? Is it a penalty or not? Because they didn't call it when they did it to Brady Sunday night. They didn't call it when Aaron Donald did it to Russ today. They did call it on the Cowboys for doing Jalen Smith for doing it to Bent. Let's just figure it out. Let's just figure out if we're going to call it. Because it's 15 yards, and you're very ever so slightly touching the face mask, which is meant to protect the face, I think. So I'm all in favor of letting it go if it's not too egregious.
I've been saying this for 20 years. I just think the refs should be able to decide between 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. Like, they could have a 40-yard face mask if it's a really bad one.
Right.
Like the one when Jerry Rice blew his knee out.
Exactly.
A million years ago. Nobody remembers that.
The other thing, one more thing. If you could review 12 men on the field, you should be allowed to review anything. Anything.
Yeah, that is true.
If we're going to stop down and count players, then you should be able to look if a guy's being held or something and still keep it to the same standard. You get one taken away. You're not allowed a million of them, but you can review anything. That's it. I know that's not an original thought, but when I saw the 12 men on the field, that ticked me off.
Well, congrats for beating me. Our bye week teams this week are Bills, Bears, Giants, and 49ers. Who are you going to miss the most out of those four?
Well, I feel best for the Niners, right? I mean, finally, they get to rest that pathetic team. Maybe fantasy-wise, I'm not missing anybody. I don't have any Bills. I don't know. Who are you going to miss?
I like changing my opinion on Josh Allen every, 10 minutes. He had two picks today, and he should have had three. They dropped one.
Right.
And then on that last drive, he's just throwing dimes. His receivers are jumping 7 feet in the air to catch passes. And he's just become scary all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And he also has these plays, they kept comparing him to Roethlisberger, the announcers, where he's getting sacked and the guy just bounces off him. And he just kind of keeps standing up and buys three more seconds. And
tough to take down.
He's a roller coaster ride. I don't know how I feel about him. I like him, I think, more than Lamar. But way less than Kyler Murray. But in those athletic wow play kind of guys,
yeah,
he's definitely scary when you're betting on him and against him. I'll put it that way.
Yes, that's a good point. I mean, all right. So I think we'll come up with a better name for this. But there are heart attack quarterbacks, and there are different levels basically they're all talented, but Josh Allen's one of them, right? I would even say Herbert's one of them. Russell Wilson's ultimate one of them, but probably with the most talent. Who else would you put in there? Who's a heart attack quarterback?
I think Lamar, when it's 70 degrees outside and they actually kind of let him do his thing. Josh Allen's number one to me. Because Russell Wilson, you feel good when you bet on him. Very rarely you're I wish I had him bet on Russell Wilson. Josh Allen, seven times during the game, you're going to be upset that you bet on him.
Derek Carr is getting there. He's getting there. I you want to, he ditches the Cousins level guy where there's three or four, five of those. But I think Derek Carr is right up there.
The question for me is whether Herbert is better than being a heart attack guy or not. Because I actually think you make case he is, but he's a rookie. He's 12 years old.
That's true.
He has two or three awful throws a game.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Right now, he's a heart attack guy, but I think he can do better than that. All right, it's time for Parent Corner, brought to you by CarMax, America's number one used car retailer. Whether you're buying or selling, our friends at CarMax are on your side with the 7-day money-back guarantee at CarMax. You've got a full week to decide if it's the right car for you or simply return it for a full refund, no questions asked. And if it's time to sell, stop by CarMax today to get a custom offer on your car. Leave with payment in hand or take a week to think it over. Car buying, car selling, the way it should be. Be like Nephew Kyle. That's where he got his car. At CarMax, check him out today. CarMax.com. All right, Sal, you have the floor.
All right, well, I don't have a great one, but I think people could relate to this. I have a 15-year-old son. And
what?
Yes. And that's it. That's the announcement. I didn't know I had him, and I found out I got something in the mail. No.
It's a girl I met at Temple.
That's right, Temple University. So his hair's real shaggy and, especially during the quarantine, these kids don't care. They're on Zoom and they're not really seeing anybody. But my son announces that he wants to get his hair cut. So I'm like, all right, how much is it? He goes to the same guy every time. It's $25. So I give him $25 and he goes. And I see him later that night, and I was like, what happened? Was it closed or something? He's like, no, I got it cut. I was like, no, you didn't. And he's like, yeah, I got it cut. And it's like, it's no different to the eye, not even a bit different than when I saw, like, I left him in the morning. I'm like, what are you talking about? And then he starts getting mad. He's like, I just got it little. That's it. I just got it cleaned up a little. I'm like, you look like you're auditioning for like the Beatles live tour. I don't know what's going on here. So I think like there's a giant racket going on. The biggest racket I think right now is termite inspections, because no matter what, they're going to tell you you have termites. The second biggest is adolescent, like 15-year-old boy haircutters, because I think they're in cahoots with the kids once they get there. And they're like, yeah, you don't need a haircut. Come on, you look right good there. And
well, they all have it long on the top too.
It's all so it's long. Like, yeah. Right. And it's thick and they don't get it cut. And he's getting mad at me because I'm challenging him on it. So just, I don't even know what the answer is here, but I'm on to you. Like, nobody's getting their haircut. You're pocketing the $25.
So you think he's pocketing the money?
I wonder.
This is great.
I wonder. And I'm all for helping the local businesses that were shut down for months. But if he's not pocketing the money and someone's taking $25 for what they call a haircut that I saw, that's shameful. But I almost rather him say he's pocketing the money, because this is not a good service.
That's like when we were in college and we asked for, or at least I did, ask for money for a gym membership, but it was really gambling debts.
Right.
Like the January 1991 playoffs. I just got 1991 or 92. I got massacred. I was like, Mom, yeah, I'm going to start working out. I got to get in better shape.
Oh, God. How many yearbooks I ordered that were never complete for whatever reason? That's paying off three team teasers in 1992. Ton of them.
My parent corner, I'm breaking the rules a little bit this time. It's a two-part parent corner, but the first main part. It's about a parent, but it's my dad.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they had the Masters on Thursday and Friday. It was on ESPN, especially Thursday. They did a really nice job on ESPN Plus, and you can watch like the leaders, the kind of featured group, like Tiger, guys like that, or they have the Amen Corner camera. Mm-hmm. You can do that one, or, you know, you bounce around. So I called my dad. I'm like, I just want to make sure you're watching on ESPN Plus. It's really cool. Like, you can pick your thing. You can follow Tiger. And he's like, yeah, I'm just going to wait till later when it's on. Like, he's like embarrassed.
Oh,
and I'm
no.
like, well, wait a second. Why wouldn't you just go watch it? Like, you're home. You don't have a job. He's like, nah, I don't remember my username. It doesn't work.
So I'm
like,
well,
just go upstairs. So I make him go upstairs. We're on FaceTime. And I'm like, put my information in. So I have my information. I know my username. I know the password. So you can only imagine how long this took. As he doesn't have Apple TV. He's got all the apps on his Samsung TV.
Right. What is it? What is your username and password?
I think people like so it. I'll tell that. I'm going to spell that out.
Good.
So so he finds the app, puts it in. Now I'm going like letter by letter. Doesn't work. And then I'm like, did you do the capital for, because you got to put the capital in the password, because mm-hmm. you have to, oh no, I didn't do that. Mm-hmm. Now we got to start over.
It's very Doesn't slow. Work. Yeah.
So now he's like holding the FaceTime toward the TV and I'm trying to see squinting like what he's doing. And I'm just like, put the letters in. Now I'm like yelling the letters. I'm like, B, S, you know, just like scream mad. And then finally like, forget it. And does the whole martyr thing.
Oh no.
Doesn't want it. And I'm like, all I'm doing is giving him like eight letters and a couple numbers and then, you know, eight more letters and a couple numbers, whatever it is. And why can't this work? So he gives up. And now I say, I don't need it anyway. I'll watch the leaderboard on the ESPN.com, like the little sad score thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was thinking like
8 minutes behind. Yeah, it's always behind too. Yeah.
Because my mom has the same thing where she... You know, she can't, her Hulu thing all of a sudden, and she doesn't remember what the password was. And she has this piece of paper that has her passwords, but then she can't find the paper mm-hmm. and she can't get in. And it's like, did you see that new show? And they're just like, oh, I don't know my Amazon password. I can't watch it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking, you know how they have like the Best Buy, like the Geek Squad?
Yeah.
I think somebody should just be like the password squad for people over 70.
Mm.
That first they come in and they just put the passwords in and then they keep track of them. And then it's like a hotline and people like my dad and your parents And when they're like, oh, I can't remember my password to this, you just call
right.
the password hotline. And these people are like, they're conciliaries. So they, because it's every old person. It's not like it's just my dad. It's anyone over 70. It's like once you take three passwords, it's over. They can't remember anything.
I'm with you, except stupid. We don't want everyone in the world knowing everybody's password. You don't want to, that's the whole point of being secretive about your password.
But that's what, but it's almost like you'd have to pay a service.
I know, but you got to trust it, these people who have thousands of passwords.
Well, think who we trust. We trust everybody. We Google and Facebook, they sell our shit everywhere.
All right. Well,
everyone knows
get
everyone's password.
I know. I just hate giving it out. I know I'm with you. But first of all, there's apps that do this. You could put the password in the app and it retrieves it. If you don't want to, I keep mine in the notes, which is probably bad.
Then my
too,
dad, then, yeah, you keep notes yeah. of it and somebody steals it. Then my dad's like, well, next time you're here, I'm like, hey, we're going to be shut down. I'm not going to see you for like 2 years. I'm definitely not going to be there.
Can you get here out. By before they tee you off on Friday?
he used my Peacock password and that one worked. So I really felt like we were on a streak, but it fell apart. Good. So anyway, that was part one. Then the part one is, I don't know why parents can't remember passwords to anything, but it's going to happen to us someday.
Do you feel, I was just going to say, do you feel like it's going to happen to us?
Oh,
do you
yeah.
feel like this? You do. Like you yeah. think like, and they probably thought this too, but I'm like, wow, technology is never going to get better than this. You'll stream whatever you want. Maybe you could pick what games you want on what channel, but what kind of tech that, are our kids going to be rolling our eyes at us? Because I feel like I could take a picture and email that. What more do you have to do? And remember your passwords.
It's going to be so much more complicated.
Really?
When we're old, it's going to be like Disclosure when Michael Douglas is going, puts on the virtual goggles and he's moving his emails by hand. That's like 20 years from now.
I don't want to know that. That sucks.
Anyway, so that was part one. Part two was, I saw my son a couple hours ago. He's like, you're doing the podcast with Sal? I'm like, yeah, every Sunday we do the podcast. He's like, what's the parent corner going to be? And I'm like, I'm gonna do it about your grandfather. And he's like, what the hell? I had a really good week. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he proceeded to give five examples of reasons why he should have been on parent corner. So I think, I don't know if he's now gaming the system.
And by really good, he meant really bad, right? Like,
well, his strongest case was that I banned him from buying a virtual currency on PlayStation because I took my thing off. But somehow he has now figured out how to still buy himself stuff, which he revealed to me. And he was like, you can put that in parent corner.
Right.
I figured out how to still charge stuff to your credit card on this stuff. I'm like, all right, cool.
I think the idea, I see why he wants you to talk about it, because it really ends with him getting over on you, right? A lot of these, if not all of them.
Yeah, it's basically all the 80s sitcoms we grew up watching. They've now figured out how to flip it on us.
Right.
So, all right, yeah. That was Parent Corner brought to you by CarMax, America's number one used car retailer. Car buying, car selling, the way it should be. Check them out today at CarMax.com. So Sal, other than the normal stuff you have to plug,
yeah,
you're on a 4-0 streak on the Thursday night Fox picks.
Yeah.
Which, of course, the reason I found this out was... You did an Instagram post with the squares of the four different picks.
When's it going to happen again? I had to do it. What do you want me to do?
No, you're like the baseball pitcher. You walk into the dugout. You've thrown five squares. You're like, hey guys, I'm throwing a no hitter.
Oh, how dare you? What do you want me to do?
I have a no hitter. I've retired 15 batters in a row.
That's right.
Yeah, so you're definitely losing on Thursday. I'm just telling you.
Who
it's
is
a
it?
Loss.
Arizona, Seattle? I still
loss.
Haven't figured it
guaranteed
out.
Guaranteed L.
Probably.
I couldn't believe you did that Instagram. That was the dumbest move I've seen from you in a while.
Well, if I hit two in a row, you're going to hear about it. Four in a row? Are you kidding me? I got to do it. Right. Yeah, Thursday Night Football, I'm on. Pre-game show, Fox Bet Live, 5 p.m. on FS1, Sports Gambling Show. Extra Points Podcast Network. Simmons has spawned this network. He's like, go off and do your thing. I said, all right, here I am. We got Sports Gambling Podcast there. Against All Odds. Are you coming on? Are we going to talk draft?
Yeah, Tuesday. I have to figure out when.
Here we go.
No, I'm going to do it. You might have to work around my schedule.
All right. I'm willing to do that. The guys are all excited because Westbrook going to the Knicks is a hot. They actually have odds on that, and they want you to talk. They want you to talk them off a
ledge. Is there a way to bet that that's not going to happen?
Oh, against it.
That's
really?
Not happening. Yeah, oh, Westbrook's not going to the Knicks.
He's going to Charlotte.
Westbrook's not going anywhere. Nobody wants Westbrook.
Really?
2 years from now, he makes $47.1 million. Nobody's going near him.
All right. All right. Well, they're excited to talk to you about that. And that's it. I don't know.
How many times am I allowed to make fun of Harry?
Every time.
Every like 2 minutes?
Every single time. I told you, he's still bent in Korean baseball. I don't know how that's still a thing. Wasn't that like going the beginning of the pandemic? He like starts every day.
He's still doing that?
He starts every morning down like $140 betting Korean baseball.
I think you have to tell Brother Bri that when you're on these Zooms and you're cutting videos for them, that they're being videotaped and human beings are seeing them.
What do you mean? What's he doing?
He always looks like he just rolled out of bed and just like turned like some dim light on and doesn't seem to realize you're cutting videos. Brother Bri, step it up.
Wow. He actually has a job. I think he's tired and he got the light. He got the Zoom light. Isn't that what you're supposed to get?
The one I saw the other day, it looked like he was in Bosnia, like yeah. in somebody's basement.
Yeah, yeah. He's doing the Bosnia Internet Invitational. Yeah. We bet on everything.
Oh, man. Well, we have more. I mean, it's a crazy run after the 3 month drought.
I know.
It just keeps
exciting.
Going and going.
I don't want to bring anyone down, but college basketball, let's put it this way. Is college basketball start on time?
I don't know if we have college basketball.
Okay. All right. Talk to you next week.
That seems like a tall task.
I know.
It would be empty gyms.
Right.
I don't know.
I know. I'm getting far-fetched. Sad about it too. I don't know what December is going to look like, but we'll see. We got Mac football on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
I would tell everyone out there to stay safe and wear their masks, but clearly that ship has sailed. People do whatever the fuck they want.
Nobody listened. Yeah. Let's tell them to continue to do whatever they want, and then maybe they'll start wearing their mask if we tell them that. I don't know.
Well, I can't wait to breathe all over you on Thursday night.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Cuz, good job by you.
Good job by you, buddy.